The first reading can be found on page 693 of the Pew Bibles. It's on page 1230 of the large print version. We're reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1 through to verse 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading can be found on the Pew Bibles on page 1247 and the large print version on 2185. The reading is from Revelation 19. Alleluia. After this, I heard what sounded like a roar of great multitude in heaven shouting, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and power belong to your God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Alleluia. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants. You who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing water, and like the loud peals of thunder, shouting, Alleluia! For your Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteousness act of the saints. When the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you. And with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. The rider on the white horse. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but only himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth came a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the God Almighty. On his robe and on his thighs, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, may these spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For as a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When I read these words from verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9, the first thing I think of is Handel's Messiah, and the second, the festival of nine lessons and carols each Christmas Eve from King's College, Cambridge. In both, these words were chosen as they are seen as prophetic of Jesus. We are fortunate because when we want to look things up, we Google or ask Alexa. But if we think of Charles Jennens collating the text to be set by Handel for this oratorio, or Bishop Benson of Truro devising the first festival of lessons and carols in Truro in 1880, neither had these resources to hand. As well as the Holy Spirit to guide them, they must both have studied the Bible in great depth to have known these texts and been able to place them so appropriately in the context of the Messiah and in the carol service. The Bible is a huge resource which God, and through the Holy Spirit, has given us to guide us through all that life and the forces beyond this world can throw at us. Would an astronaut fly into space without having studied the rocket manual? How can we negotiate this life without reading the manual and knowing it inside out? But do we really know our Bible? Do we know where to look when we need particular guidance? Could we have compiled the words for the Messiah? To paraphrase the collect for Bible Sunday, all Holy Scripture are written for our learning. Help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, so that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the whole of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. To read and know the Bible is not an interesting intellectual exercise, but is critical to our hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. When Isaiah spoke these prophecies, it was in the context of uncertainty for the future of the kingdom of Judah following the death of King Uzziah. Syria and Israel were forcing Judah into an alliance against Assyria, and Isaiah was trying to keep, firstly, King Ahaz of Judah and then his successor, King Hezekiah, out of these intrigues. However, Hezekiah did join the revolt against Assyria, and they did attack Judah and almost destroyed it. The latter part of Isaiah was written much later, after the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in 587 BC. Cyrus, king of Ashan in South Persia, then challenged the Babylonian Empire, which collapsed, and this enabled the Jews in captivity to return to their homeland. When Isaiah spoke of a Messiah, those who listened to him would have interpreted his words in this context. An example of this is in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Verse 16 goes on. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. Based on this, the prophecies of Isaiah would have been interpreted by those who heard them as referring to events which would happen soon, and not nearly 800 years later. The Gospel of Matthew is littered with quotations of the words of the Old Testament prophets to foretell Jesus. When Matthew, who knew Jesus to be his saviour, that was born a virgin, read Isaiah 7:14 about a virgin being with child, it clearly resonated. When he read in Isaiah 43, a prophecy, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the ways of the Lord, he immediately saw a link to John the Baptist. However, the point I see it is that Matthew was faced with a cosmic crossword puzzle. To solve a crossword, you can't be sure that the answer to a clue is the right answer. It might fit the letters you know and the number of letters, but there could be some other solution. Should you write it down? But if you look at more clues and find that the answer you thought of provides letters that fit them, then you feel very clever. The answer to some of these clues in Isaiah might not fit the original context of everyone exactly, but it predicts so well the events 800 years later that they cannot be ignored. When God led Isaiah to use these words in prophecy, I believe he was not only addressing the people of Judah at that time, but was aware how these words would reach down through the centuries to speak to those 800 years later and in 2,800 years later. We should remember these words were recorded not just to speak to those who heard them in their original context, but to us now. The book of Isaiah contains not only many inspiring images and poetry, but is also an exposition of what it means to be a people of God, trying to submit to his will, recognizing his judgment through the bad times, and yet given hope of his salvation. We look at Isaiah's efforts to keep Hezekiah out of a war which would end badly for his people. And from this, we can understand what happens if we turn away from God. May the book of Isaiah continue to teach and inspire us. And let us thank God every time we hear Handel's Messiah. Amen.